viewers, welcome to yet another episode of The View. In studio today with me is Ruth. I'm Rose, and there's a new face with us. I'll let her introduce herself.
Charity.
And our moderator for today is Ambrose. Let him introduce the topic.
Today we are talking about the current generation of the movement in Uganda. Of course, we are relating to the past. Maybe the pressures have been high. Both sides have been up in arms fighting. I won't say fighting, but there has been that vigorous activity. The anti-gay movement is really pushing up. Then the activists also are pushing up the bills here. But then now we see some calmness, some quietness. What could be behind this? So today we are analyzing that that topic, and I will share with my friends here. Ruth, what do you talk about today's topic?
Thank you, Ambrose. I think the current state of calmness we're experiencing in the movement is because politically the situation has changed. Not so much political energy is being pushed towards the whole homosexuality topic. Mm-hmm. In the past years, when we have the immediately after the passing of the Anti-Homosexuality Act, and before when we had it as a hot issue on the table, a lot of international media, a lot of international attention was given to the issue. Even locally, homosexuality was a hot topic. Yes, the fundamentals, the sempers, the other side, also gave us a lot of attention, which made the community putting a lot of effort in activism. But I don't know, maybe we have decided to relax because the act was revoked. There's been a lot of change on what should I call it? Not a lot of homophobic acts are happening right now because we did the work in the past. There is change now, but I don't know, it could be short-lived. We don't know what's going to happen again.
Great. Well, on my side, we have a new face on the view. Could you introduce yourself and also contribute to this topic of today?
I'm Charity. I think the situation is now calm, maybe because of the political environment right now. Everyone is into politics, Amama, Museveni, Besigye. So maybe even the lawmakers have turned to the politics, and they've now not really ignored, but politics has taken much of their time. Maybe the law or that bill will come back after the political situation.
I think we're all going to go with the political situation in the country right now. 2016 coming up being an election year, I think the issue is not so much they're not paying attention. They are just playing their cards right. They know this is a topic they do not want to touch right now. So you'd rather leave it alone because most of these people need funding as well. You cannot afford to annoy the funders right now. So they'd rather leave the whole homosexuality topic alone and come back to it after they have attained their next 5 years in office. So I think that's the reason it's all been calm lately.
Yeah, but then, basing on one point raised by my friend here, when you say the political environment has changed this, all this, to be like this, we can remember that most of these politicians, they have really used the thing of gay issues to write down to their maybe political ambitions, because the voters will say, if you maybe introduce a law doing this, we shall give you votes. So when you say the political atmosphere has consumed much to shift the debate, not to be much about all the issues. To me, I would say, won't this be the time now when they would be really coming up to talk much about this issue that they can gain popularity among their voters?
Ambrose, I think what is happening is after the bill being tabled and passed and nullified, it brought homosexuality to the forefront. Even people who had never heard of it now know what exactly it is. It has become such a sensitive issue that right now someone cannot afford to just wake up and start putting their stand out there. You do not know what will come next. So I think as a politician, you just need to play your cards right. Do you go and put it as number one on top of your manifesto, or leave it alone and revisit it after you have gotten into parliament?
Personally, I think credit needs to be given to the activists in this LGBTI movement. A lot of work was put, a lot of effort was put into creating a situation where Ugandans come to understand that the white people want to use the idea of homosexuality to gain your votes, to push ahead their own agendas. The work the community has been doing, trying to put out better information to the community to understand that the people you're trying to castigate as the homosexuals, the people the politicians are telling you to disown, throw out, put in jail, these are your family members, these are your children, this is your mother, this is your brother, this is your sister. So I think the Ugandans have also come to realize that this is not really something that is going to affect only the gay community or the homosexuals. So when politicians come in, now people have proper knowledge. They have proper understanding of who a homosexual is. How does someone else being a homosexual affect you and another person? Other than what it used to be before, that people never used to talk about homosexuality. People need to know who a homosexual is. What do they look like? People had their own conceptions according to what the politicians told them or what their church leaders told them. I think now people have more understanding, have better knowledge, and understand that this is not an issue. This is not a priority to us. People can be gay, and it's not going to affect everybody.
Okay, right. Still, on the same topic, we see some media houses are using, even I won't blame it on in the media, but we see some political parents are being trained, are being crucified for saying they are siding the gay community, they are having gay man and everything. What do you talk about this?
First of all, someone should explain to us what gay money is. When you say gay money, you make it sound like the money is gay, there's straight money and there's gay money. I don't understand it. But in that concept, I think right now we are trying to hobnob around the main issues. Nobody wants to tackle the fact that we don't have a democratic government, the fact that there are bigger issues on the plate, and everybody's just going to keep coming back and saying, oh, that's gay money, and then it will somehow divert your attention from the topics that you should actually be paying attention to.
I remember that recording the speaker put out where she was talking about gay people giving a mama money. It's it brings to, when you come to think about it, you come to understand that much as people want to assume that gay people were out there having baskets of money that we're throwing at people to push ahead our own agenda, it's, I think, becomes redundant for people to hear it again and again. If you say a mama is giving people money, sending them mobile money, game money.
Okay, then Charity, when we talk about this whole situation, now we go to the side of the activists and their work they have been doing currently. Of course, we can say maybe the funders, even you say the situation is calm and everything, what does that mean to the one who has been all that, maybe trying to make sure you maybe, or you're given something to push on, maybe do active advocacy and everything? Is there like the issue of funding, or like, you know, what is the situation currently?
I think with the funding it has reduced.
Why could be the reasons for that? So talking about the current situation, we have analyzed the situation, we see with issues with funding and everything. But then, would you anticipate that after this calmness, something might be boiling out? Maybe these legislators, after this political chaos and everything, they are coming up with something to again come back to the fight with the LGBTI people in Uganda?
I think it's very expected, given that we already have as long as Kadaga is still the Speaker of Parliament next year, the next term when it comes in, given her history of being a very homophobic Speaker of Parliament, it's very, very likely that she will always be fighting to bring back that issue to the table.
And I like to believe there's no smoke without fire. And after the bill was nullified, I think we've seen a proposed bill, a second bill. I think they're letting it go for now just to get through the election phase. And I'd say sooner or later, it will be back in Parliament.
I think it will be soon, just as
But then our president of recent, when he was marking, he made remarks and said he didn't support such laws because we had many laws to fight against homosexuality.
What would a man who is seeking elections for the millionth time that people do not want to vote him back say at this point?
So that was a
right now statement. It is just a political statement to get him through this 2016, and we shall still be here to see.
Okay, now over the issue of fundamentalists, we see Semper is quiet. We don't know whether he's maybe hiding somewhere under the table. his Twitter is dormant, has been also tweeting about, you know, homosexuals are there. What could be also, could they be planning something under the agenda in the Inter-Religious Council and everything also?
I think possibly you're pointing out Semper because he has been your biggest headache. But others are still doing their work. We saw Malay the other day in court pushing to get Mobiru arrested. And he still pointed out that there are so many others who are going to come for you. He's doing his work, yet he might not have the same publicity as Semper had. And we understand that Semper right now is facing some criminal charges in with his country of citizenship in the US. For that case of Scott Lyon. So possibly he could be keeping quiet because he has a lot going on in his own life. But I think personally the others are still doing their work. They don't have the same publicity as this guy had, the same ability to scream out loud, but they're still there.
One thing we need to realize is, well, especially vocal religious leaders like Semper, at the end of the day, they have political backing. So it all comes back to the current situation in politics in the country. Everybody is a bit too busy to start paying attention to Semper, who is going to make noise about homosexuals and then cause trouble for the very people who are trying to get elected.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Charity, what is the current, what is that urgent need, or what is really needed for the community there? What is that, like the things that is urgency in the LGBT community currently in Uganda? What is that thing they need to push up the...
I think it all comes to funding. Because if the funds are not there, then the activists or the people in the community don't have anything to do, since most of us, almost of the, should I say all, the community organizations, we depend on donor funds. So if we don't get that money, then that means the activities won't go on. You won't get the money for the health, the money to facilitate the activities.
Should we always go with the assumption that without the foreign funders, our communities that have been, we've had the LGBTI movement here in Uganda for the past almost 12 years. One of the oldest organizations, Farouk, has been here for almost that time. Why is it that we're still seeing a situation where without the funders coming in to fund our activities, we're not doing anything else? Or are these funders creating a situation where we need to depend so much on their presence?
Donor dependence syndrome.
I think so, because most of the Ugandan organizations don't support. Okay, they are homophobic. So you don't expect to get the money from the Ugandans or the Ugandan funders.
We don't want the Ugandan funders. I think to answer
Ambrose's question first, I was going to initially say the biggest problem that I've seen in this community is a lot of self-pity. And I think it still answers your question. it starts from the top and then somehow comes down to the grassroots. There's a lot of, if I don't have this, I cannot do that. But say activities like the social media trainings we have every now and again. How about if someone just gave up their house? The facilitator says, I'm doing it for the good of my community, I'm not getting paid. The rest of you turn up without expecting transport refund. How hard would it be for these activities to go on? Yes, it would be. It would not be as comfortable, but somehow they would go on. I think we also need to get that mentality out of ourselves where we think if these guys are not here, because maybe sooner or later they might not be. And the movement is not going to die because of that.
That's great. I think to supplement also on Ruth's point you meant, I think you should erase out this thing of without donors we can't survive. No, we have been here. What if time comes and donors say, maybe I pulled out of funding, maybe in Ugandan community. And of which that situation happened when Hawaii said, you know, you have done a lot with Uganda. Maybe it's time to focus on other areas. Okay, that's good. Then we're analyzing the current situation. Let's now talk about the LGBT influx. People going to Kenya, people going to here. When we anticipate this is the time when the situation was calm, why do we see now an influx better than before? People going to Kenya to...
Personally, I do sympathize with our brothers and sisters and others who are stuck in the camps in Kenya or who are stuck in that situation where they want to be, they believe that they have nothing else to do other than go and seek for asylum. But I don't think that is the right thing to be doing. Much as the situation is not yet at the best that we want it to be, but in the past the Ugandan movement was not built on the fact that people were scared and running away. Yes, situations do happen. Yes, people do get attacked, but there are people who are taking advantage of the fact that this is something that happens right now. Let me do it out of laziness, get up out of here. I don't want to go and seek and do the, I think people would rather go to, for some of them, I'm sorry, would rather abandon sitting here in Uganda and looking for work like the rest of us. They would rather go to the camps where people are going to pity them. I don't know, I'm not for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do sympathize with them who are there, who feel that they should do that. But I don't support it.
I think, I mean, no place to pass judgment on anybody. People have their reasons for wanting to seek asylum.
Mm.
But my personal view is, I think they'd rather, they feel more comfortable sitting in a camp and at the end of the month receiving a small token from a refugee commission. And, you know, it is much comfortable, they are sure of that little money that is coming in than being here in Uganda, and it's a hassle.
And maybe they're anticipating things will change and maybe
yes, and then they think it's like it's an easier way to live than deal with the hard life that everybody deals with. And that's what they don't realize. Everybody has problems. Everybody, it's not easy for anybody in the current economic situation in Uganda.
Trinity?
I think it's because of the comfort people get the other side. Some come from this side because maybe they don't have that job. But if they get someone, maybe who can take them, then maybe they get that money, they get that small allowance, they promise them the jobs, or maybe when you go the other side, you're sure that you're going to get something or a job to keep you up. Even some may be disowned this side, and the conditions this side are very harsh for them. So it's better for them to seek asylum.
And then one last thing. I think somebody needs to educate this community on the process of asylum.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like people think, I'm going to go to Nairobi in a month's time, I'm going to be on a plane to wherever it is. It is a process, I think we'll have to discuss that on a different episode, but it takes a long time. It can take you close to 5 years to actually get asylum the legal way. So I don't see what they're really, really dying for.
Okay, as we do wind up our show, of course, we have analyzed our situation, what it is, the current legal situations and everything. What are the recommendations or what things do you think we can do to maybe end these things we see people going to Kenya, maybe to fight, to continue fighting for our rights, as we usually say. What are those things that we can do? Maybe the agency, the agent we can do that address such issues?
I think our movement needs to come from that place where we've created the demigods who are sitting around because they are created by these funders.
Mm.
They need to come back and realize that yes, you've done the work, you've become, you have a lot of visibility, you have a lot of power behind your name.
Mm.
Now you need to come back to your community and start to sensitize them on breaking away from that tradition of we need people to come in and always help us, we need help, we're doing so badly. For a movement that has been here for almost 13 years, there needs to be a change.
Mm.
We cannot be the people who still, when we talk about ourselves, we're always looking for pity. Needs to actually work much harder. Let's try to focus on building ourselves. People have given, international community has given us a lot of backing, people have given us a lot of pity, but pity is not taking us anywhere. You need to come back and empower your own community. Let's empower each other, other than saying, oh, we're doing so bad, we're being killed. No, we're not. We're sitting here right now. No.
Ali, how do you wind up this show with your key actions or your key recommendations?
I think right now it's not the time for the laxity we are seeing in the community.
Mm.
We do not know what the parliamentarians are cooking up. We do not know what will come up next year or the year after. I think it's now time to create a firm foundation, come up with strategies, and always be like a normal company. Let's think of ourselves as a company where you always have a PR strategy. If something goes wrong, you're ready to deal with it. Let's come up with strategic plans and deal with these things other than running around trying to figure out things after they shock you.
Okay. Charity?
I think for us, the community members, we should be creative. Because most of them people say they're unemployed. Just because maybe I'm trans this, I'm a tomboy, maybe when I go to work here, they'll not take in my services because of my sexuality.
Mm.
So we have to be creative, do what you can to survive, other than begging.
Thank you, our viewers. This has been a good engagement. We have had your people discuss this, the current situation. Thank you, and hope to see you another time. I've been your host, Ambrose, and my team. Thank you very much.